This is Pure Decking, show number 400 for Thursday, July the 16th, 2020. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the fact that somehow we're still doing this shit after 400 episodes in 9 years. And what have I done with my life? I'm Warps. Tonight, How are you?
And I'm just saying, sometimes cancer just won't go into remission, my friends. Just keeps metastasizing.
Just keeps going.
And congratulations on 400, man.
Big effort. We have Madman.
Let's go. Sometimes shit just happens repeatedly. It helps when you have scotch. It drags things out a bit longer.
Yeah, well, there's been a lot of alcohol involved. So, you know, nice round number that we've hit here. And I was just kind of thinking about it. When we first started this show, I actually thought I was like going to help some people be like, hey, look, here's all the shit going on you should know about, right? Like, you know, the security things. And no, of course not. Internet's not really worth protecting anymore as it is. So
it still has its money uses.
Yeah.
Piracy.
I mean, it keeps me employed. There's that.
Piracy.
Piracy porn? Wait, what? bad internet cartoons. But so before anybody gets any illusions, the only reason we're still doing the show is because we want to. It's not because we're trying to accomplish anything.
Not because of you, the fans. Fuck all you. We're doing this shit for us.
Yeah, it's basically so I have an excuse to play with audio equipment.
Says everyone just before they put out a terrible remix album. So starting next week, we're going to be doing the best of IHN.
Oh, no. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back through the archives, and I'm just going to start cutting shit up and putting out new shows of just shit spliced together.
Oh, canned audio. I wonder what all we can make each other say.
There is enough audio of nothing all of us.
Nothing I haven't already said in a complete sentence anyway, Madman.
That's the wrong button.
Smoke weed every day.
I think I took testicular cancer off the soundboard, actually.
I was doing so well up until that point, and then I just hit fuck it after that. I'm not watching what I say anymore.
So, anyways, we'll see how much longer we keep this shit up, but I don't know. We'll probably hit 500.
I mean, the wilder it gets out there, the more we should keep doing it. I mean, it's pretty fucking wild right now.
It really is. That's the weird part, right? Is we have seen the shit we used to joke about, and now we're looking out on the streets going, oh, God, it's the jokes we made 9 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, how did that happen? And why didn't we buy the right stocks if we were that ahead of the curve?
Done pretty well of being ahead of the curve.
Yeah, but not really taking advantage of it.
Well, we said take advantage of human suffering, you know. I've just made the parachute deployment a little later for myself because I've seen it coming.
I don't know. I mean, several regimes have made pretty good use out of human suffering. I mean, surely there's a way to do it.
I mean, we were a month and a half ahead of the Wu flu. That's the last big one.
Well, we were waiting for the protests. And then street shit to start.
Predicted the craziness, well, something crazy to happen towards the end of it. And I just didn't want the prediction to be that accurate. You know what I mean? I knew there was going to be some fucked up shit about to happen, but I didn't think it'd be insurrectionary, if that's the correct word, because looks like an insurrection to me.
I just wish I would have bought Bitcoin back when it was less than a penny a Bitcoin.
Oh, dude, you could have given $5,000 to Bill Gates yesterday and got $10,000 back. You missed out, dude.
That's going to be the lead, as we're going to talk about that. Because right. I've heard some other points that are, the Bitcoin scam is funny and kind of stupid and you know, just your standard advanced fee scam, right? But
how about the BLM malware? Woohoo! Start your own botnet. Support Black Lives Matter.
But here's the thing: you have all these big Twitter accounts, Barack Obama, Elon Musk, Biden. They had access to these accounts, at least enough access to make these posts, right?
Mm-hmm.
What else did they have access to in these accounts? Potentially the DM history,
telephone number. They could also ban them. Final ban. And there was another word, I can't remember what it was, and no one could figure it out. They seem to think that's the shadow, what they call shadow banning. Essentially, from people that I've been watching chat and shit like that, it looks like that whoever did it just bought the access of a low-level employee.
Yeah, they did. That's the second half.
Okay, sorry, I'm stepping on your story.
So I guess we'll just burn through these real quick so we can talk about it. First article is from Washington Post. Twitter just proved it cannot keep the accounts of global leaders safe. So let me just copy the link and get this. There we go. So everybody sees the first one. Massive Twitter breach yesterday wasn't just disruptive. It was a sobering reminder that even the most powerful social networks are vulnerable to attack. The hack impacted everyone from Joe Biden to Elon Musk, raising new concerns about Twitter's ability to keep global leaders' accounts safe. Well, it's not just them, but okay. It's sure to have wide-ranging implications for the service. It's become a core communication channel in American society. Not as much as you might think, but anyways. Disseminating everyone from Trump to corporate news. Problem is, we all rely on Twitter in this public space is safe and secure, blah, 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 blah. Harper Reed. Okay. The hackers could have sown mass chaos for access they scored. Appears the accounts were seeking financial gain. Yeah, that's the Bitcoin thing. The incident is certain to reverberate through Washington, where Twitter is increasingly used by government officials. Security experts have long fretted about bad actors infiltrating Trump's account, which has become his favorite bully pulpit. Now the accounts of Biden and Barack Obama were hit. Those concerns are no longer theoretical. Yeah, we didn't care if it happened to Trump, but oh God, it just happened to Biden and Barack. That can't be countenanced. It's the Washington Post. What do you expect?
Trump's a lot better.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were asking a question.
No, it was rhetorical, but you're not wrong. Trump's account did not post a Bitcoin message and did not appear to be affected by the incident. Probably because his account is probably the most monitored thing at Twitter from all sides right now, because they can't shut it down because that would go badly. But they don't want to just let him post anything because then that goes badly with the other side of the political aisle. I mean, the one thing you don't want to be right now is Twitter's executive board trying to figure out what the fuck to do with the political situation with Trump. Because either way, you're pissing off half the country, right? So,
yeah, and if you say let it all fly, you're just pissing off everybody. It just depends on which week it is.
Yeah. It's also certain increased concerns Twitter could be compromised closer to Election Day, of course, because absolutely nothing could be in the news if it's not somehow for or against Trump. Breach also raises a concern that Twitter could be leveraged to wreak financial havoc. Yeah, I could see that fucking with stocks. Anyways, the second half of the story I actually have is from Vice. And get this one posted. Stupid thing. There we go. Didn't want to paste in there for some reason. After a wave of account takeovers, screenshots of an internal Twitter user administration tool are being shared in the hacking underground.
Dun, dun, dun.
Both of the sound effects are valid. I just wasn't sure which one was which. Twitter Insider was responsible, or a Twitter Insider was responsible for a wave of high-profile account takeovers on Wednesday, according to leaked screenshots obtained by Motherboard and two sources who took over accounts. On Wednesday, a spike of high-profile accounts, including those of Biden, Musk, Gates, Obama, Uber, and Apple, tweeted cryptocurrency scams and apparent hack. We used a rep that literally did... English... We used a rep that literally done all the work for us, one of the sources told Motherboard. The second source added they paid the Twitter Insider. Motherboard granted the sources anonymity to speak candidly about a security incident. Twitter spokesperson told Motherboard that the company was still investigating whether the employee hijacked the accounts themselves or gave hackers access to the tool. The accounts were taken over using an internal tool at Twitter, according to the sources, as well as screenshots of the tool obtained by Motherboard. One of the screenshots showed the panel and account of Binance. Binance is one of the accounts that the hackers took over. According to the screenshots seen by Motherboard, at least some of the accounts appear to have been compromised by changing the email address associated with them using the tool. In all, four sources close to or inside the underground hacking community provided Motherboard with screenshots of the user tool. Two sources said Twitter panel was also used to change ownership of some so-called OG accounts, accounts that have a handle consisting of one or two characters, as well as facilitating the tweeting of the cryptocurrency scam from the high-profile accounts. Twitter has been deleting some of the screenshots, or some screenshots of the panel, and suspended users who have tweeted them, claiming the tweets violated its rules. The panel is a stark example of the issue of insider data access at tech companies. Blah, 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 blah. So, anyways, so now they're saying that they paid somebody at Twitter, got access to this internal tool, and that's actually how they got into all these accounts, which is not surprising.
Okay, but think of the scale of what just happened and how many people had to be involved, because all this happened within 2 hours.
Depending on how many people have access to that tool, not very many. It sounds like it could have been a customer service tool for resetting logins and stuff.
Madman?
Yeah?
Okay, Madman, think about the level of access you alone have at the company you work at. Both you and I work for financials.
Yeah.
Just the amount of access you have alone. If you were going to be a bad actor and give somebody access to that for, you know, they're going to pay you $1 million on one of those concept cars we saw earlier, how much havoc could you wreak in your company?
It depends on how closely I'm being monitored, and I do know my actions are monitored. I just don't know how often they're reviewed. But in my previous job, I could have wreaked havoc with lots and lots and lots and lots of people's.
Now think about the account of access I have. Somebody showed up to me and said, here's a couple $1 billion, you know, give us your passwords. I'd like to think I'd say no on principle, but looking at a couple of $1 billion, I don't know that.
what offshore bank account it is in, and let me check my passport.
It's like, what's the timetable? I may need to make some actions here.
Yeah.
But, because I am very aware of the kind of damage I could do. I'm also very aware of how many companies, including social media companies, manage internal permissions. Most companies suck at it. Badly. It's like somebody changes jobs. They don't usually go back in and clean up the permissions they don't need anymore. They just keep giving them permissions. 9 times out of 10, when they hire somebody, they don't say they need these, you know, they need the role for this job, and this job. They say, nope, we need, Phil has the right level of access. Copy what Phil has. And, you know, Phil might have 100 other things he doesn't need anymore. In fact, we were talking about my access. When I hired some people, they cloned my account for them. And I had to spend about a day cleaning shit up before they started, because the amount of access they gave them was dangerous for somebody coming in on their first. It's like, you don't need domain admin on day one, okay? You don't need domain admin on fucking day one. It's like, we can wait a couple of days before we give you DA. It's okay. You know? So, but yeah, we had some help desk people just copying accounts willy-nilly. So I don't doubt that a handful of people with one inside actor, maybe two, could wreak absolute havoc. But I'm just thinking, what else did they have access to if they had this internal control panel, right?
Well, brings to mind that Mr. Jack Dorsey may have perjured himself in front of the Congress, too. Because they don't have an access panel to just get rid of accounts like that. Yeah, purges yourself, Jack. Just saying, buddy.
Well, the access panel might not have delete this account. It could just be change this password, remove tweets from whatever account.
Look at the pictures, madman.
Oh.
There's ban, you know, perma ban.
Shadow ban, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't have any of that when he was testifying in front of Congress. This just implemented yesterday. Like,
well, shadow ban is the worst, because then you don't even know you're banned, and the system acts like everybody can see all your posts, yet nobody can see anything.
Yeah, like, fucking DC cops should do their job, go arrest that guy.
So, yeah, I'm just thinking DMs, you know, private access details.
Oh, there are some people absolutely shitting himself if this guy's taking screen caps. What? You know what I mean?
You know, you can get political with it and be like, you know, well, think about all these reporters that use Twitter. Think if they've got, you know, conversation records off them, and, you know, that'd be comical and great, especially for, you know, everybody going back and forth about which news organization actually, you know, is right. Here's a hint, none of them. But I'm thinking in terms of, like, how many CIA people, politicians, How many high-level executives did you just get phone numbers for? And then they say, oh, it was a BitTorrent or Bitcoin scheme to try to steal money. Yeah, that's the kind of shit you do when you're like, okay, I'm done. I've got what I really want, and I want to, you know, make it look like it was something stupid so they don't dig too hard.
That's the first thing I fucking thought of, dude. Out of my head. I'm like, this is bigger than the Bitcoin scam. Like, this is way bigger. But listening to some people who use Twitter like it's a religion yesterday, apparently people without blue check marks were running amok yesterday, just saying whatever the fuck they wanted because they knew blue check marks couldn't come after them. It was fucking hilarious. It was like having freedom again. Great.
Yeah, that blue check mark thing is the worst thing Twitter ever did. It's like giving a bum a horse. That bum is going to lord it over all the other bums, and whip them and beat them to keep them off his horse.
Yeah, we'll see, man. That could be some blackmail down the track.
How many passwords do you think are in common with that Twitter password? I mean, I'm hoping Bezos and, you know, Obama use different passwords for different things. I don't think they do.
Well, almost nobody does. That's what password managers are for, right? But it's because it's, you know, seriously, I mean, most people who even try to do it only have separate passwords for things like their bank account, their main email address, and then they'll have a handful that they reuse for everything else. So, I don't know. I don't know.
Compromising photos, you name it, man. I think there's some serious blackmail to come yet.
I still don't get that. If you have compromising photos of yourself, why in God's earth would you upload them to any kind of a platform? Why would you even, you know, why would you keep them?
Because I'm Carlos Danger, motherfucker. That's why. Dude, think about it. I'd love a couple of hours just to scroll through Biden's fucking shit, Obama's stuff. Yeah, that'd be great.
DP View in the chat room says he can't possibly imagine Twitter DMs for sensitive information. I can tell you, at the company I worked for a while that did mortgages, their marketing department was absolutely looking to use Facebook and Twitter messaging to communicate with people about their mortgage. And of course, my first thought is, are you fucking serious? If I got a message from a company about my mortgage on Facebook, the first thing I'm doing is moving a mortgage. Because, oh my God, are you kidding me? But they absolutely wanted to do it. And we found out about this because we blocked a bunch of social media sites one day and they lost their minds. So then we unblocked it and monitored what they did with it. And of course they weren't doing work, but that was their argument. So
well, we'll see what happens, man.
Good time.
I mean, it's been popped once now. It'll get popped again and again and again.
Well, it's just amazing to me that people are that's like, oh my God, somebody's Twitter account got hacked. It's like, where were you for the past 15 years? Like, people getting their accounts hacked is a thing. It's happened forever. I mean, it's a routine problem with email. It's a routine problem with I mean, that used to be the thing on forums. Dump out the database, go make posts as whoever you wanted, take it over. Fuck.
Did it come across your mind too that this just may be a test run?
Yeah.
Just to see what the response is?
I was thinking more like the Bitcoin thing was covering up what they really did. There's no way you have that level of access to those kind of accounts and all you do is a Bitcoin scam.
Yeah, that's what made me. Maybe this is a test run.
Well, I have another article later on. I should have put right after this one and ordering it, but fuck it. I can reorder things. So move on to this one just to make the point. And I need to move where this link is. No, that's the wrong article. Hang on. That one was where it was supposed to be. This was the Register article. So, yeah, anybody paying attention in the chat room, you've got a story, a couple articles ahead. Here's the one I actually wanted to, do right after, because it fits with where we're going with the conversation. So this is from the Register. You call Verizon, a Google bot answers. You demand a human. The human is told what to say by the bot. Verizon has turned to Google's Cloud Contact Center AI to automate its customer service phone calls and chatbot conversations. Verizon customers in search of support may soon find a more natural and streamlined digital experience. Digital experience. It's a program, guys. I hate this flowery language they put over things because it's like, oh, it's
magical,
fluffy thing.
I just had the most fantastic digital experience.
We don't need to hear about your latest romp through Pornhub.
Such a digital experience.
Thanks to a new collaboration with Google Cloud, the U.S. telecoms giant gushed Monday. Yeah, gushing's the right word. What they won't see behind this experience is the conversational artificial intelligence that can help customer care agents respond to customer queries as well as assign consumers daily. Assist consumers daily. Assign, assist. I feel like most of this language doesn't mean anything anymore. It's just what, somebody's program, the boilerplate that they have to say.
Yeah.
The contact center AI technology will, we're told, use natural language recognition to translate on-the-fly customers as they talk down the line. The speech-to-text output would be fed into Dialogflow, a platform that parses the text and generates responses in real time. Similarly, written conversations with online support chatbots will be processed in real time by Google's AI. The overall aim is to allow subscribers to rant or complain away using natural language at the computer system from their keyboards or over the phone, and the artificial intelligence should be able to work out what the customers want and help them out without having to navigate a menu or bark simple commands. And presumably, the aim is to sort out simple stuff quickly without a human operator having to come on the line and deal with it. Subscribers with trickier problems should also, we hope, be directed to a human without having to negotiate their way through a menu with scripted irrelevant procedures. The software agents can also suggest relevant online documentation, such as information on how to view or pay a bill based on subscriber's request. Whether through voice chat or call or chat, customers will not need to go through menu prompts or option trees. They will simply say or type in their request, and the natural language recognition feature finds the best way to assist them. Amusingly, if you get through to a human or demand to speak to a person, the staffer will probably just tell you what the AI wanted to say anyways. The software will, behind the scenes, provide prompts to the call center workers. So rather than having a glossy checklist or flowchart or script, they're just going to let the bot, just like you were talking to the bot, tell them what to say. Go ahead.
My complaint bot on the phone to talk to the complaints bot.
Yeah.
Just have two bots going around and around.
Oh, that's what it's going to end up being, is you'll write bots to interact with bots to, I don't know, whatever that accomplishes. For live agent requests, the contact center AI, this is going to be like the fucking Warhammer 40K archives, the great bureaucracy. Just all this shit getting done for reasons God knows why, and nobody really knows what it accomplishes anymore, or just paperwork for the sake of paperwork. We've always done it this way. We don't know why. The scripts just do what they do.
No.
For live agent requests, the Contact Center AI Agent Assist feature, good God, put a name on that, offers Verizon customer care agents a real-time digital assistant that fetches relevant articles with the knowledge base and then recommends personalized responses to agents at each turn of the conversation, assisting with the care agents in effectively answering customer questions by addressing any issues. Yeah, they're going to tell the person what to say. I mean, people already do whatever the computer tells them to do anyways. I was visiting my parents, and my mom, you know, stopped, looked at her watch, said, oh, and then stood up. And I'm like, what's going on? Well, my Apple Watch says it's time to stand up.
Oh, no way, dude.
Yeah.
The
watch told her to stand up, so she stood up. Now, she was joking about it, but she still did it.
Okay, next time you're around at your mom's house, right, and she does something like that, you just need to play the audio text of Alex Jones. We're breaking the conditioning. Like, just, yeah, dude, that's crazy, man. The Apple Watch told me to stand up. Like, I'm not belittling your mom. I don't like to put candles in the water that turn the freaking frogs gay. Oh, dude, that's painful.
I can see
my parents doing that too.
The computer said so I did it. I mean, it's like, you do know the computer is just a machine, right? It only is doing what a script tells it to do. They're useful for automating tasks, yes, but come on. There was a part early on, not in Damon, but the sequel book, where the main characters had gone into a fast food restaurant. They ordered lunch, and the main character was losing his mind because he had ordered like three things off the dollar menu and they wanted to charge him $12, and said, no, look, like $2, $3, and $2. What does that add up to? Well, the computer says it's, you know, $14.95. It's like, no, that's not what it, do the math. That's not what it is. It's wrong. So then calls the manager over, and the manager does the same fucking thing.
Yo, sorry, sir. There's
some parts of that book series that are a little meh, but there's some parts of it that are pretty spot on. and the whole just doing whatever the computer says is one of them. And, of course, that gives you the automatic out. Well, I just did what the computer told me to do. It's like, if you know how those things work, you would never do that.
You can't add up the order yourself, sir.
So, but I mean, you think about it, like what RU was talking about with this Twitter thing being a trial run. How many people are just going to see something on Twitter and go, oh, okay, and do it?
Yeah.
Well, Elon Musk said I should do it.
Well, a little less than 10% of the population's on it. How many of those do you think are really stupid?
Do you want an honest answer to that one?
Okay, so we're going to say 3 million people. I'll say 3 million people may fall for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just how I'm curious how much money those Bitcoin accounts got the other day. Probably a lot more than anybody wants to admit.
You think my number's high or low, Morps?
Low. By like a lot.
Like a lot.
I imagine the majority of their user base is falling is gullible enough to fall for shit like that, madman.
So yours was closer to 36 million.
And that's just
I guess
Twitter.
We could go globally. Globally be a bit more. I was just thinking of the people in the US that are stupid.
Of the 9 million people or 9 billion people on the planet, how many of them do I think are stupid? I don't know. It'd be easier to say the decimal of that I think are not. I don't have a high opinion of my species, if that's what you mean.
Well, other than getting the information it took to set up the account, just tweeting stuff, how much of an effect do you think it could have? Oh, wait a minute. If Elon Musk just tweets out, ditch all of your stock and whatever, some people might pay attention to that.
A lot of people would pay attention to that, madman.
Imagine putting out an alert saying the incoming missiles seek shelter now. This is not a drill.
From Trump's account, yeah.
Yeah, well, all of those accounts, all the big blue check marks just suddenly throw out an alert that incoming missiles seek shelter now.
I can't be the only one smart enough to know that Elon Musk does not know that.
Dude, okay, so these people gave thousands of dollars to get thousands of dollars back. Throw some panic in with that instead of greed. And then we got a game.
Throw a penny scheme in there. Elon Musk, money, Bill Gates, and everybody else says, go buy this stock after you bought like 100 shares of it on penny stocks. You wait for the thing to hit a couple thousand, you dump it. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, what they could have been doing rather than these fucking
time.
Bitcoin things?
You're not thinking big enough, man.
I'm not even sure that would be prison time beyond taking the control of the account. That's the only thing illegal.
Telecommunications fraud by Telefonix. I think there's a few gangsters serving life sentences for less doing stuff over the phone.
Pretty sure you could do a lot of damage with that.
You guys are just thinking economics, man. I'm thinking.
Oh, you want to try to start an international incident?
No, man, I'm just talking about collapsing productivity for an entire day, let alone maybe weeks.
Well, COVID causing... already did that.
Yeah, COVID was a slow boil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It took a long time for that temperature to get up. Now, if you were to use all those Twitter accounts for something malicious, cause absolute fucking panic in, let's face it, people that use Twitter obsessively are pretty narcissistic. A bunch of narcissistic, panicky people thinking they've got but 5 minutes to live. That gets dark real fucking quick. Anyway, talk too much on that one.
All right.
I need more water.
We can move on here. This next one is from commando.com. If there's one thing that defines social media for the past 2 years, it's TikTok. Originally designed for sharing videos of karaoke and dancing, the app has skyrocketed to success as a fun short video platform beloved by Generation Z. Sure, James. Whatever you say, man. Oh, yeah. James Gelinas wrote this, and so I'm just, you know, as I make fun of him, I'm going to be addressing him personally. Because, well, as we've just discussed, I think most of the rest of the world are stupid. So, unfortunately, behind the glossy exterior lies a host of privacy concerns that are enough to make seasoned security researchers blush. In recent weeks, the app has attracted attention for an entirely different reason: national security. The Trump administration reportedly has plans in the works to shutter the app for American users, citing privacy threats from TikTok's parent companies and the Chinese Communist Party. Is this app really that dangerous for Americans to be using? Yeah, they figured out how much data the thing's pulling off their phone. of course, that said, most people don't care if their data's pulled off their phone, so... Eh? Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has stated for the record on Fox News that the Trump administration is considering banning TikTok for American users. When pressed for a reason, Pompeo cited privacy concerns and warned users that downloading the app could have their data end up in the hands of the Chinese Communist Party. Well, the Chinese Communist Party has already got a ton of data. And here's the fun part. I don't know that they have any means to actually ban it without getting a law passed. Like, they'd actually have to get Congress to ban, you know, to write a law saying this app is not allowed. I'm not certain, from a legal standpoint, how they could actually ban the app. Madman, feel free to correct me on this, but I can't think of a legal mechanism to go in and just ban an app off people's phones, even if it is the I steal your data and charge your bank account millions of dollars app.
Does it encrypt anything?
Presumably it's using SSL to communicate to its servers.
I know for a while there's a law that's little enforced.
Oh, the weapons export, because they consider encryption ammunition? Yeah, that's been repealed.
Yeah.
That's done.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had to study that back in school. I remember that. It's like, yeah, if you have international communications between your Windows 2000 servers, you have to select the lower form of encryption because it's illegal.
But that's the only thing that immediately jumps to mind.
I can't think of how they would actually ban the app without getting a new law passed, because... if nothing else, at the end of the day, they claim, you know, the publisher can claim freedom of speech on the American side. But the best you could do would get Apple and Google to yank it from their Play Stores, but that would be the government asking them to do it, not, like, forcing them.
Now, I know if it was an actual product, the executive branch has wide latitude on banning imports and exports, because Congress has pretty much given up legislation powers to a bunch of bureaucracies. They could try to argue that this is an import since it's a Chinese program, even though it's not a physical product, and say you can't download it because you can't import this. But that would prevent new copies. It wouldn't prevent someone that's already downloaded it.
Let's see. TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, is privately owned but enjoys a closer relationship with the CCP. After the company's first app was censored by government officials due to controversial content, ByteDance has been far more compliant with the government. It's even made promises to employ more censors and CCP members going forward. Following this, there have been several controversial incidents that revealed ByteDance's closer relationship with the CCP, including censorship of topics considered problematic for the party. This is where people were trying to post Hong Kong positive stuff on TikTok and it kept just disappearing. But these topics aren't cited for the reason behind the Trump administration's proposal. Instead, the administration cites data harvesting and overseas storages as primary factors, as well as fears that this data may be used by the Chinese government for covert purposes. TikTok, like most social apps, collects a vast amount of personal data from users' devices, including account details, contacts, location, and personal interests such as favorite videos and topics. This isn't all too different from Facebook and Google do with their own users. Both companies have also endured their respective share of controversy and legal action in light of privacy problems. But Facebook and Google, both companies are openly hungry for your data in plain sight. You can easily look at the back end of each website and see how the data is collected and used. And then some, you can even delete your data or set it to automatically delete. But TikTok, on the other hand, is highly secretive about how it uses your data. The app's official privacy policy makes note of targeted advertising, which is fairly standard for social media apps. But the data itself is encrypted and masked from outsiders, which means nobody can really see how it's used. It's also the fact that TikTok stores user data overseas. Despite a common misconception, however, the data is not actually stored in China, but Singapore. Additional data is also saved to domestic hosts in the U.S. Well, of course it is. And there's no way they're not relaying data and doing some kind of distributed networking for the kind of stuff they're moving. That's just a technical reality. Yeah, still, a combination of overseas data storage and mass communications make an app a whole lot less fun. Several prominent figures, including video game icon Ninja and Jeff Bezos, because Ninja and Jeff Bezos are equivalent, apparently, have reportedly stopped using the app altogether for privacy reasons. Bezos, Amazon even instructed employees to stop using the app. Again, of course it's stealing your data. Most of these apps do that anymore. It's more just, I wanted to ask the question, I don't think they have any way to actually ban an app. I don't think the government has a legal means to do so. I think they could ask Google and Facebook to take it out of their app stores, and they could potentially make it very difficult to continue operating the app. But I don't think, First Amendment and all, I don't think they have any way to prevent it.
The only thing you do is proactive advertising on people.
So, for good or for bad, I don't really have an opinion either way other than, I haven't installed TikTok on any of my stuff.
No.
But I really would not recommend it, but I don't think there's any legal means of saying this app is not allowed in this country. Not in the United States anyways. Like, I'm sure Australia could just say, no, you can't have that, and that's that. You guys had problems with video games for years.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Oh, dude, it's pro-Chinese. They're not going to say shit about it here.
Yeah.
They'll probably make it mandatory for everyone to fucking install TikTok. Until they get serious about cutting ties altogether, we'll never be able to wrestle control back.
So, anyways, next one up is fun and sensationalist, and I don't know where this conversation is going to go, so let's just...
Let me put my CNN hat on.
Dear God.
If true, this could be groundbreaking.
Yeah, this is going to be big. This is the end of Trump, if true.
The Independent, Dakota.UK. Pedophile hunters do not violate the right to privacy, Supreme Court has ruled while dismissing a convict's appeal. I'm not certain where to go from that. That's the opening story, or the opening line of the story. Mark Sutherland was convicted after communicating with a member of an activist group, which he believed to be a 13-year-old boy. He appealed his conviction, arguing that his right to a private life and correspondence enshrined in Article 8 of the European Convention on Human Rights. Delivering on the Supreme Court's ruling on Wednesday, Lord Sales said the appeal had been unanimously dismissed. There was no interference with the accused's rights under Article 8, he added. Lord Sales said Sutherland believed he was communicating with a 13-year-old boy and had no reasonable expectation of privacy because a child could tell an adult. I mean, the logic here is interesting, but he added that authorities had a special responsibility to protect children against sexual exploitation by adults, and that overrides for the right to privacy for such reprehensible communications. And there's the part where it gets a little weird. The interests of children have priority over any interest a pedophile could have in being allowed to engage in criminal conduct, he added. Again, he's not wrong, but that line about, the risk of protecting children against sexual exploitation overrides all other rights of privacy. I feel like that could be abused.
Lightly.
The court heard that Sutherland was convicted of attempting to communicate innocently with an older child and related offenses in August of 2018. A group called Groom Resisters Scotland has set up a fake profile on the dating app Grindr, which he engaged with. After they matched, the person claimed to be a 13-year-old boy, and Sutherland sent sexual messages and images. Okay, he's a piece of human garbage and should be, you know, stood upon by a fat man until dead. But I should have thought of something worse than that, but that's just what came into my mind.
And even have a raffle, make some money, because there's some fat men that may be willing to pay money to stand on somebody until they die.
I'm not a fat man, but I have three rats and a metal bucket and a blowtorch. How's that?
If it really went down like the kid said, the person said, I'm a 13-year-old kid, and the guy starts sending dick pics, I'm okay with whatever you guys want. It's just like, well, nope, you know, they kind of forfeited their right to any kind of dignified, meaningful, or painless death. So, go nuts. But, rack, whatever that thing was called where it's a coffin with all the spikes in it, whatever, I don't care.
Iron Maiden.
No, that's a band. That can't be it.
They were named after something.
Oh, okay. So, anyways, they arranged to meet at Glasgow Park Railway Station, where the pedophile hunter filmed the encounter and broadcast it on social media. The group contained Sutherland, called the police, and handed over its evidence, including IIS communications with their role player. The group's evidence was relied upon in Sutherland's prosecution, and a trial judge dismissed his attempts to have it ruled inadmissible. Sutherland appealed against his conviction to Scotland's High Court of Justiciary, which granted the appellant permission to appeal to the UK Supreme Court. In a hearing in June, Gordon Jackson QC, represented Sutherland, told the court a huge number of cases were being prosecuted on the basis of information from pedophile hunters. The police were aware that there were a number of hunter organizations operating in Scotland and the UK, and evidence submitted from these organizations had led to a number of criminal investigations and convictions, he added. Mr. Jackson accused police and prosecutors of giving tacit encouragement to such groups to continue their activities. Opposing the appeal, the barrister for Scotland's Crown Office and prosecutor for Fiscal Service argued the criminal prosecution of sexual conduct between an adult and a child does not engage someone's right to privacy. There is no rights to respect for such behavior in a democratic society, said Solicitor General Alison D. Rolio QC. She added that it was clear that the overriding duty of the police was to respond to any report of any identified person who may pose a risk to... Okay, obviously. So, the article goes on, but the argument is oddly framed. Because, again, yeah, the dude's a pedophile, Get the 40K chain sword out and castrate the asshole, right? I don't care. They have no rights at that point. But it's framed as either, they have a right to privacy, or, you immediately lose all rights to privacy because they might be abusing kids. And it's like, I kind of feel like the pendulum is swinging too far in the other way against the guy, because...
I'm phrasing this poorly. No, I know what you're trying to get to. You're trying to say,
Okay, they're going to claim anybody they want to spy on is a pedophile, so they can go get data.
Yeah.
This guy, it sounds like this guy really was a pedophile and deserved what he got, right?
Yeah.
Well, on this one, they didn't have to go get data. The data was provided to them by pedophile hunters.
Right. I think this is where the law knows that it's a fucked up situation that they tangled their hands in with the right to privacy and stuff like that. And I think this is why they're allowing this evidence into courts. It's a bit of a wink and a nod to, like, yeah, we know you're doing some good shit. We're not going to stop you. But we can't do it from our legal aspect because our hands are bound under privacy law. But man, if you can catch one of these motherfuckers, hand them over without beating the shit out of them. We'll prosecute them for you. You know, I think it might be a little bit of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I could see that. But, I could see that. And I'm not opposed to that, really. I mean,
I'm glad private citizens in the UK have had enough and are taking their own hands, because the law won't.
The whole Glasgow ring.
I'll tell you guys after this show, but I have inside knowledge into a lot of stuff going.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's just say Rotterdam is not the biggest now. It's bigger.
Oh, great.
Much bigger.
So, like I said, I'm with you. I like these guys going after the pedophiles. I think that should be done. I just, the way this is phrased makes I feel like they're casting a very wide net. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, I have a couple of objections to these guys. Not of them doing it. I object to them not filming it. They can film it for their own protection. I just don't think they should be profiting from it off their YouTube. I don't know if they're monetized, but I can imagine they are monetized. But I don't think they should be making profit.
I hadn't even thought about that.
That's just my moral aspect. If they want to justify it, that, you know, we need to pay our expenses and stuff like that, I'll give you a pass, but... I was about to say,
I could see if you're doing this as a job, you're doing a good thing, and you still need to be able to pay your rent.
Well, I mean, let's take the more controversial shit out of it, and like the Jim Browning YouTube channel, the guy who gets into the Indian scam centers.
Oh yeah, that guy's good.
He's monetized. Should he not be monetized? Because he's still calling the cops and letting Indian authorities know about scams and. Fucking with these guys and breaking into the system.
I've just got a thing when there's children involved. See, that's two adults.
You can blank out the kids, but although the kids involved in this are fake kids, they're non-existent kids. That's the pedo bait is a non-existent 13-year-old.
I think I'd have to have a few drinks and a longer conversation to really nail this out. This isn't the time to nail the monetization of pedophile hunting.
No,
a conversation
enough.
For another.
I mean, I
think there's a lot of weeds in this. Like,
there's a lot of weeds in this, or not enough weed in this. One or the other.
Yeah, one of them.
Although, update on the TikTok story. It's not an arbitrary order. They're trying to get a bill through the Senate. So they are just going to be passing a bill.
They're going to try to pass a law. Okay. No, that helps. Because I'm like, I don't know how you do that without getting a new law passed right now. So
yeah, right now it's in a Senate subcommittee. They're looking at two different ways of doing this. One is just pass out a straight-out bill banning TikTok in the U.S., which I don't know that I'm opposed to. I also I don't know that I care.
Yeah.
The other thing that is somewhat being discussed, which I am opposed to, is tacking it onto an appropriations bill, which I don't think anything should be attached to an appropriations bill that isn't we're spending X amount of cash.
Well, I don't like it when they bundle up these bills like that in the first place. I'm very much of the old school Unix philosophy when it comes to law. One law, narrowly targeted, that does one thing well, as opposed to a whole bunch of shit bundled together. But
yeah,
it's in the Senate subcommittee being discussed.
I mean, I know Trump did just do an executive order that's pretty harsh on anybody helping to fund anybody who's had anything to do with Hong Kong being down. So that's a I don't know if you've seen that one yet or not, Madman, but that's not really related to decking.
Oh, yeah, he's gone after a couple people in the select committee in China.
Yeah.
China's responded by targeting some of our senators.
No. Well, this will end well. Are we just going to go to war with China at some point or not? I mean, because it kind of feels like we're doing the Cold War.
New Cold War.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Cold War.
It's already happening. Very slow. I had some conversations around this last night. Is we're spending quite a few billion dollars on long-range missiles.
I mean,
I think the blatant nationalism that they've been showing, like, it's got some real 1930s feel to it. And the way the rest of the world is just fucking scattered everywhere.
They're saying this land is historically ours. We're just claiming it. And they're sending people they don't like to camps. So, I mean, there's some historical parallels there that are kind of uncomfortable.
And the way you guys are just an absolute fucking shambles right now leaves us with our ass hanging out. And Britain's just as fucked up as you guys right now when it comes to social unrest.
Well, apparently they tore down one of their statues and put a Black Lives Matter protester statue up.
Yeah, and then that one got torn down.
Oh, for God's sake.
There's a whole group over there calling for armed black militants to take to the street and start killing cops.
Oh, well, that'll end well.
Yeah, I know, man. It's fucking crazy. But everything in Rebellion does sound better with a British accent. But it's going to be interesting, man. I mean, if you're interested in looking at some... Devin Stack just put out a new video. Don't watch Devin Stack if you're prone to depression or anything like that, because this guy will push you to the edge.
I already work in security, dude. I mean, I'm either immune to it or on the edge. I mean,
Devin Stack's got a new video called The Party's Over. And 36 minutes, I think it runs. And, I mean, the ending's not uplifting, but it's not depressing. But it does call for... I'm not saying violence or anything like that, but... I don't want to put my spin on it.
Fair enough.
Go watch it. His channel's called Blackpilled on YouTube. He's on BitChute as well.
Well, let's move on to something much less heavy. This is from the New York Post. Covering up the camera could damage your laptop, according to Apple. Or you sent me this post the other day.
Putting black electrical tape over the camera will hurt it.
Yep. Don't cover your camera, Apple has warned MacBook users. It could break your display. Consumers should rely on the green camera indicator light adjacent to their laptop camera, Apple told owners of MacBooks, MacBook Airs, and MacBook Pros this month. Putting a sticker, post-it note, or other covering in front of the camera itself impedes the tightly designed computer's ability to close and could shatter the screen. I don't see how a piece of electrical tape or a post-it is going to be thick enough to actually break the fucking glass. If their design is that tight, how does it survive shipping? I mean, seriously.
Hey, you're questioning things again. You got a fucking license for that, mate.
Kind of. I kind of do, actually.
You're asking three questions in a two-question lane? Pull over, sir.
One MacBook Pro owner's internal display broke after he applied a webcam cover in April, Mac Rumors reported. Now, they say a webcam cover. Now, I've seen a lot of these webcam covers that they hand out at, like, conferences and shit, where it's like this thick piece of plastic thing with a shutter on it, and, like, some double-sided tape on the back, and usually they've got a bit of thickness to them. They're not, you know, we're not talking about a piece of electrical tape or a post-it here. We're actually talking about something with a, you know, a couple of mils of thickness. I could see that actually screwing with the screen. But how hard are you slamming shut your laptop screen that extra bit of thickness is actually causing it to buckle and break? Or, like, are you tossing it in a bag and then beating the shit out of the bag? I mean...
yeah.
If you close your... Oh, go ahead.
I'm just calling bullshit on this story.
Yeah. I'm laughing at it because now I have seen several busted laptop screens where people have forgot, like, they put a pin in the keyboard and then shut the screen. I've seen that.
Yeah, I can see that.
But piece of tape over the webcam, really? If you close your Mac notebook with a camera cover installed, you might damage your display because the clearance between the display and the keyboard is designed to a very tight tolerance, Apple wrote on its website. Camera covers can also interfere with the machine's ambient light sensor to prevent features, including automatic brightness and Apple's Retina Display True Tone Image technology, from working properly. Oh, that's true, and if you do have an ambient light sensor, that just means you need to be a little bit more careful about how you apply the tape over the camera.
Ooh, could the camera just be the ambient light sensor?
Actually, yeah, I have seen some devices do that. The camera light can be trusted, Apple reassured in its post. If the green light isn't on, then your camera isn't evil either. Thus, an additional covering, the company implied, is excessive. Those looking for additional security to the camera light can go into their system preferences and manually set which apps have access to the camera's built-in or computer's built-in camera. Although Apple does not mention the possibility that digital privacy-minded individuals may not trust its reassurance, it does offer a possible route for those whose work environments requires a camera cover at all times. These individuals should make sure the camera cover is extremely thin, will not leave adhesive residue, and will take it off before closing the computer, Apple wrote. Wow. Apple's sudden post about the issue likely comes due to numerous recent complaints from MacBook Pro owners, MacRumors wrote. Damage caused by the issue is an expensive fix, but considered accidental and covered by Apple Care Plus, which means it won't be soon, because now they're going to say, oh, you put a camera cover on there. We told you not to do that. We're not covering your screen.
Yeah, you can see that.
Yeah, that's actually what it is they're looking for excuses to quit paying for broken glass on their screens. In fact, I know several people who, not with Apple, but with other companies, who had bought insurance for the device, busted the screen, and went in only to find out the insurance doesn't cover screens.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, it's in the really, really fine print. I'm speaking specifically of Pebble smartwatches, by the way. They had an insurance thing for the device. Insurance doesn't cover the screen. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like, what's the point of the insurance then? Because that's what's going to break. It's like car insurance, but it doesn't cover, you know, accidents. It's like, oh, yeah, no, you have car insurance, but we don't actually cover, you know, repairs. Yo, no body damage? No, we don't cover that. So, anyways.
Typical insurance.
Yeah. It's just... I there's a lot of bullshit going on here. I think that's what it really is, though. I think is that they're looking for a reason to start denying repairs. It's like, oh, you had a webcam cover on. It's like, really? So... And finally, to close things out, this is the last story I have from tonight. It's from the Register. IBM job ad called for 12 years of experience with Kubernetes. Kubernetes was released 6 years ago. You'd think a company like IBM would know, but anyways, this is just more making fun of HR departments that don't understand how shit works. IBM's Global Technology Services has posted a job ad calling for candidates with a minimum of 12-plus years experience in Kubernetes administration and management. Which is a little odd, because the first GitHub commit for the project was made June 7th, 2014, and the feature freeze for version 1.0 was announced May 22nd, 2015. Sharp-minded reg readers will have realized that absent time travel, it is therefore not possible for anyone to have 12 years of experience with Kubernetes. I actually had somebody at work claim to have 20 years of experience with Docker, but that's a different conversation. The job ad, live since the end of June, is sadly silent on just how IBM expects candidates to have found the time to accumulate a dozen years of experience in a six-year-old project. At least Big Blue is not alone in making such a silly mistake. Basically, they're finding several of these job posts where they're asking for years of experience and shit that hasn't existed that long.
Entry-level job requires 15 years experience.
One of the Twitter posts here is we interviewed a 28-year-old designer in 2012 who told us he had 17 years of experience in designing websites. And he said Tim Berners-Lee doesn't have 17 years of experience in designing websites. And the guy asked, who is Tim Berners-Lee? Whoops. So, anyway, so yeah, you just got to keep an eye out for that. It's always funny when somebody claims large numbers of years of experience with things. It's like, I've got 20 years of experience with Windows 10. Isn't Windows 10 like 4 years old? So, anyways, let's do this.
The experience was backwards compatible with Windows Vista.
Okay, yes, that may not have been the best of examples. Only one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, but it's a pretty good one. Server Side Up put out a full course on setting up the WireGuard VPN. Windows, Mac, Android, iOS clients, Linux server. WireGuard is a newer VPN protocol that's pretty well regarded. It was recently accepted into the kernel. And they've got a full guide on setting it up. So if you want to build your own VPN, here you go. But that's really all I've got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit, and the IRC. Tonight, nobody, because apparently I've been kicked out of the IRC.
Well, the coffee maker's still here, plotting against us all.
Madman, read through the IRC since I'm apparently not in it.
We have Cyberland, Cycros, DPView, Madman, which I don't believe that guy's ever there. The Coffee Maker. Sardonyx, which is probably a bot. And Cyber D1 Stopia, which I also think is a bot. In other words, a bunch of bots and two people. Maybe three.
I just look up and it says zero users. I'm guessing I've just lost my IRC connection. But it's just been like that, so. But yeah, for the opening of the show, I went back and looked, and we posted episode 1 on March 22nd, 2011. It's like, my God, we've really been doing this shit that long. So. Oh, and I'm sure in a couple of years' time, I'll look at that first post again, and I'm like, my God, and marvel at the fact that time is still continuing forward once again. But that really is all I got. Madman, closing thoughts.
At least you're not hitting slash played in WoW.
Oh, that's just depressing. It's like I could have gotten a doctorate.
There's instructions on how to apply that to your resume.
I'm not surprised. It's like, yeah, I was a guild leader in WoW. Actually, in this day and age, that would mean something.
Would it really?
It could. if you had a known rating guild, it could.
I just don't think enough people play it anymore.
Well, I don't know that. It depends on how old the person who's interviewing you is.
Yeah.
All right, are you closing thoughts?
Congrats on 400, man.
Yeah. What number should we stop at?
Run its natural course like IHN.
Yeah.
I don't even know what number we got to there.
On the relaunch, like 9. Let me check.
Yeah, the relaunch was
8.
Never.
The relaunch was 8. We got to 8.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I just don't feel it anymore. I don't have the energy. Plus, there are plenty of people doing it better than me. Anyway, so just remember to send me 10,000 Bitcoin, and I'll send you 100 million back.
Notice he didn't specify the denomination of what he's spending back. It's going to be Dogecoin or something.
Gift coin.
Madman, how much Dogecoin do you have?
Oh, I'm going somewhere around zero.
So, that's all I've got. I'm going to start playing sound effects now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Dom's going to nose down and call it a night.
Shut up, Wesley.